Again, we continue the fourth or fifth part of the Amil Akam series. So I'll just review quickly what we did the past few weeks. We've been talking about these certain instances, certain leniencies, when one's allowed to direct a Akam to do a particular malacha. So we said there is one category which we permit the guy to do a malacha midirabanan. It's limited to only a malacha midirabanan, and that was in four instances. One instance was in the situation of hefsid mamon. If a person is going to lose a significant amount of money, whatever the case might be, and it depends on the person, depends on the income. So then you could ask a goy to do a melacha midirbanan to prevent that iser to prevent the hefsid mamon. Second instance was in a situation of a makom mitzvah. Let's say there's a makom mitzvah. It has to be defined very strictly. A person needed wine or challah for the mitzvah of Shabbos, or perhaps hachnas orchim, where there's a mitzvah. Then you could also tell a goy to do a melacha midirbanan. That was the second example where mil akum for midirbanan works. The third category, we said, was a situation of tsar gadol, someone's very, very uncomfortable. So then you're allowed to ask a goy to do a malacha midirbanan to prevent that tsar gadol. And the fourth instance is kavod habriyos. So let's say someone would be embarrassed. The classic example we spoke of, a person's having a kiddush or he's having a shalom zachar, and he forgot to buy drinks. It'd be a big embarrassment. He invited guests over, and there'd be no drinks there. So then you could ask a goy to do a malacha midirbanan to prevent the kavod habriyos. Just as a side point, someone asked me yesterday a very interesting question, whether kavod habriyos applies to goyim or not. Do we have to show sensitivity to goyim? Does kavod habriyos apply to goyim? Interesting question. So it's not spoken too much about in the poskim, but I ended up finding one just this afternoon. One of the Rav Zilberstein speaks about it. He brings a couple of rayas in both directions. Perhaps there should be kavod habriyos when it comes to goyim, and others say, well, maybe there should not be kavod habriyos when it comes to goyim, meaning treat them with respect. Everyone agrees that the Mishnah in Gittin says that you have to say hello when you see a guy in the street, because darche shalom, you have to be nice, and if you don't say hello, it's going to create eva, animosity, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be concerned of their embarrassment. So that's an interesting machlokas, completely as a side point.
If you ask a guy to do a walk with you, and they do it, doing the deraisa, is that a problem? If you're done by derabanan, then it's a derabanan. Would they choose to do it?
That's okay. So let's say, for example, I have a big headache. I'm not considered a chol, a shem, sakana, but it's uncomfortable for me. I have no Advil in my house. So I could tell the goy to go to the store where she could walk and she could buy a thing of Advil for me, because buying is only an isser midrabanan. She could walk there. Now, if she decides to go drive, so she decides. I didn't tell her to drive. I told her to do so. That would be permitted. So then there's a whole other category, which we started discussing last week, where we're even allowed to ask a goy to do a melacha midiraisa. And those are much more serious cases. So that was the first case we said was Bein HaShemashos. If a person's right after Shkia, but before Teis HaKochavim, we said there's a big machlokas how long Shkia lasts for, when's Teis HaKochavim. So Rav Moshe Paskins, with respect to the Heter of Amil Akum, only 30 minutes. So you have from Shkia, 30 minutes. So what we were doing last week, what's today? Shkia was 4:30 today. So you have from 4:30 to 5 o'clock tomorrow, let's say, tomorrow night. Till 5 o'clock, you have the right to ask a goy to do a melacha midiraisa for you during those 30 minutes. Now, it can't just be for any reason. It has to be for a purpose. It has to be a certain tzorech. You can't just tell the goy to start turning the lights off and on. There needs to be a tzorech for doing that.
So that's during less time than we normally would hold. Right? Normally, you have it until 5:14.
Exactly. 4 minutes. Exactly, right. He's very, the Ramosha, exactly, very Ramosha, very machmir on that time frame when you're allowed to utilize the heter of milakum on a deraisa level. So he said some situations, what's considered a tzorech? It doesn't have to be so strict when the tzorech we spoke of last time of certain mitzvahs. If I could tell a goy to do a mitzvah for me, let's say I need my kiddush or challah, it was very limited to what you need, the basics, the essentials for the meal. When it comes to the Bein HaShemashos heter, we are a little bit more expansive which types of mitzvahs are appropriate. So let's say they discuss in the poskim the situation of hefsid mamon. Not a serious hefsid mamon, but let's say the car was in the garage. Let's say you left the car in the street and you were concerned maybe it's going to get stolen. I guess that's a serious hefsid mamon. You could have the guy drive it into the garage during Bein HaShemashos. Even though it's a melacha deraisa, there's a concern of hefsid mamon, that's a heter during Bein HaShemashos. Let's say we spoke about last time, the Mishnah Berurah says for a yartite candle. Now, even though Mishnah Berurah says a yartite candle, it's not really that big of a tzarech. Actually, there's no real Indian in the first place. But he says since people really take this so seriously and they're so sensitive to yartite candles, he allows a Jew to tell a goy to light a yartite candle on his behalf during these 30 minutes of Bein HaShemashos. So it's not really a tzarech mitzvah, but some type of tzarech that the Jew will want.
Shabbos candles themselves.
Shabbos candles themselves, that certainly would be allowed to be done during Bein HaShemashos, 100%. Okay. Another time, another situation where we permit even a melacha deraisa, where you could tell a goy to do melacha deraisa, is in a situation of psik reisha. So we discussed psik reisha last week. So let's say I could tell a goy to turn the hot water on for me. Because hot water itself is not a melacha. The fact that the boiler is going to turn on when it releases all the hot water because new cold water comes in, that's a psik reisha. That's a result of what I'm having her do. But turning the hot water on would be completely okay. So that's one example. Moshe says that, let's say I left something in the car, so I could tell the guard to go get something from the car for me, even though the light's going to turn on in the car. I didn't ask her to turn the car light on for me. That's going to happen as a psik reisha, as a result of her opening the door up. But her, I told her to just go get the safer I left in the car, for example. So the fact that the psik reisha, and the psik reisha results in a melacha mederaisa, that would be okay as well. So the next category, I don't think we discussed this yet, was a chol hashem bo sakana. The situation of a chol hashem bo sakana, a person who's sick, but not a dangerously sick, so then we permit a melacha deraisa. So we need to find what exactly is considered a chol hashem bo sakana, what's considered being sick. So chol hashem bo sakana is a situation where a person's life is in danger. Okay, so that's easy to, for the most part, easy to define. Person has a little bit of a headache or a bruise, that's not considered a chola. That's considered a mechash ba'alma, something bothering him. So the definition of a chola, the Mishnah Berurah says there are two types of cholas, shein bo sakanas. The doctor, I'm scared to say, one is if he's not full of mishkaf, if he's bedridden. Now, bedridden doesn't mean he's always in the bed, but for the most part, he needs to be in the bed. He gets up, you know, to get some water from the refrigerator, but he really needs to rest up in the bed. Someone perhaps with the flu might be a good example of someone who's bedridden. That's one example. A pregnant lady who's bedridden, she's a mubaris anyway, so she might have a dinner chola as it is, even without being bedridden. The other example would be a person who's feeling pain all over his body, even though he's not necessarily feel bound to the bed, but he's somehow feeling his entire body is very, very sore through some illness. That would also be considered a chola shein bo sakana.
The soreness has to be due to illness. Not to be, let's say, like sometimes you can
working
work out,
right?
And every part of your body. That's not it.
That's not chola. You want someone to run like the Bengay all over you? I don't know if that's going to count. But let's say a person has a very severe headache. So even though it doesn't encompass the entire body, but he feels like he just needs to lie down in bed to just soothe his head, that would be considered also bedridden and would warrant any of these heterim. So in the situation of a chol hashem bo sakana, so then you could have a guy do a melacha deraisa, so you need medicine. And let's say the CVS pharmacy is not in walkable distance, and the only way to get there is either outside the Eruv or driving there. You could ask the guy to go get the medicine, even though it involves a deraisa of driving the car on the way, because that's needed.
Entire Shabbos.
Once you have a chol hashem bo sakana, you could rely on this anytime you want.
You can ask them beferish. You don't have to do it with a Muslim.
Nope, nothing else.
Go to CVS and you don't have to call a cab. You don't have to limit the type of chol Shabbos.
Now, to get there, whatever you need, whatever it takes to get what you need, you could tell them to do for a chol hashem bo sakana. Okay, so let's see some examples. We said of asking a guard to go drive to get medicine. That's one example. Let's say the chola needs the lights on or the lights off. That's also permitted for various reasons, whatever they might need the light on for. It has to be something that's necessary. You could ask them to call the doctor, which, interesting, someone told me last week, a couple weeks ago, they were in some other shul, and they had a young rabbi there, and a Baal Bas asked the young rabbi, they had a certain situation of a relative who was in the hospital. They wanted to know the status. Could they have the guy call up the doctor in the hospital, find out the status of their relative? That was the question. So the person didn't hear the answer. He actually didn't want to hear the answer. He didn't think the rabbi knew the answer, and he was probably very uncomfortable, you know, what he was going to say. He kind of walked away, not making the rabbi feel uncomfortable. So in that situation, would that be permitted? So in this situation, it doesn't seem to me, it's not for the purpose of the chola. If the chola needs it, it's okay. The only heter I could think of for the family is covered brios, maybe. A tzar gadol, maybe.
Well, maybe if the person is in a situation that is getting worse, he might need the family sometimes to help him improve. Like if the person is in a condition where everything is okay, but sometimes they need the family to make decisions about the care or whatever it is.
But then doctors would be getting in touch with however they need to get in touch. They're just checking up.
What about
maybe
to be an advocate?
A non-Zion Kreuzer?
I don't know the exact details. Yeah.
Zach Rubin could say maybe there's certain reasons that they would need to know.
If they need to. It seemed like they were just checking up on the status of the situation. So unless it's covered brios for the family, unless it's somehow tzar gadol for them, which in those cases it was only permitted a mlacha midirabanan. So I'm not so sure if
they're curious. They're just curious.
From the way it was presented to me, it seems like they were curious, concerned, but you know, it doesn't
if
seem.
You're very concerned. You're going to stay at the hospital. Somebody is critical. Not be eating a challenge.
Right.
Well, you could have a child-in-law, a daughter-in-law's giving birth and there's trouble before Shabbos, and you want to know what's going on.
That's curious.
It's deeper than curious, though.
No, it's curious.
Deeper than curious.
Well, you want to know whether you're making a shalom zafar.
No, there's a pacha. I mean, I can see there's plenty of reasons. We have family members in a hospital. You're concerned, not just curious, but a deep level concern. Anytime.
But you're not going to do
it.
But at the end of the day, you can't do anything.
Yeah, you're not a doctor.
Right. What are you going to do? Let me find a doctor.
Because it's sipuka nefesh. Because it's menuchas nefesh. That's the answer.
But the menuchas nefesh.
First of all, there are plenty of people who do ask the guy what the scores were in the game. So I'm not going to cross that road.
But they just ask him to.
I know what I'm just saying. There are plenty of reasons a person would want to know when you have a close family member in the hospital.
I don't think you should allow
it. It's all for their own interest.
It's your child, and you stay home with your kids. You have other kids at home, and your wife goes to the hospital with a kid who gets injured, or you're the one who goes to the hospital, and your kid gets something happens.
Right?
You still wonder what's going on with your kid.
All right. Okay. Okay.
You still wonder what's going on with your kid.
Okay. Now let's say in any situations where let's say you have to ask the chole. To cook. Let's say you want the child needs some food cooked, hot tea to make them better, or chicken soup or something like that. So, even though normally we say Bishul Akum is aser, when it comes to chola, we allow for Bishul Akum. So now when the guy cooks the food on Shabbos, is someone else allowed to get hana? The guy cooked it with beheter. So now it's mutter, so can I now get hana from this? So the discussion that they found in the Shulchan Aruch and Poskim is that it depends on the type of malacha that was done. If it was a malacha that it's, you know, one for all for one, they turn the light on, it's one action, everyone gets hana, so then everyone's allowed to get hana. But if it's something where there's concern that that guy might add more for other people, so if he's cooking chicken soup or chillin or making hot water, so it's possible he added more, having in mind others who are not sick, then you're not allowed to get hana from any amount of water that they made. Perhaps they may have used, maybe they added on for the particular healthy Jew.
So you're saying that the person is sick, but he's not in a sakana, he can lechatchila start cooking something.
If the chola needs it.
The chola needs, let's say, oatmeal or something like that. Whatever the case would be, that he could mamish, cook it, that's mamish bishul for the Shabbos.
Yep. Again, if there's a need.
Now eat it if there's leftovers.
No. We just said, in general, you can't get hana from a malacha that was done for a chola. But when it comes to something that, in theory, can have, that the goy might add on something more.
But they didn't.
No, but it doesn't make a difference. And if there's a possibility that they could have, then we say it's usher to ever get that food. So even though, let's say, the goy calculated, I'm only going to do one bowl for the chola. Happens to be the chol didn't finish that bowl of oatmeal, still you can't get hana if there's a possibility that he adds on. But a light, there's no possibility it's on or off. So everyone's allowed to get hana when he puts it on for the chola.
No, but if you made a small amount and there are leftovers.
Still, once it's something that is possible, unless it's anything that's possible to add on, so then you're not allowed to. Unless you remember otherwise. To my understanding...
Because Shema, the next...
It's possible that next time he'll add more?
Right. The reason is Shema, next time.
It seems to me the Gzeri was any time he makes it, any time it's a possibility, even though he may not have, they were goes or anything. That was the Gzeri.
Right.
Low plug, whenever there's a possibility.
Because if you eat it this time, next time when they do it, they're going to be vice versa.
It's possible that was a concern.
That's why if they see you even eating the leftovers... They're going to add just more next time. When the chayla needs oatmeal, they're just going to add extra because they know that the sister's going to eat it too.
Right.
Is that because it's hutra versus the chuya? If it's the chuya, then it's asur. If it's hutra, it's mutter.
It might be part of that, but it also might be part of when you add on additional chicken soup to what I'm making or additional oatmeal. So the hutcher part might only be on the mlacha that was done for that chola. Any additional action I'm doing was not part of the initial heter. So even if you assume it's hutcher, but it's only when that mlacha done for the Jew, for the chola was hutcher. But the additional actions are not mutter at all. That's part of the lumdus. Now, in terms of chola shein bosakana, there are other examples of those who are considered a chola shein bosakana, even though they're not actually sick. So the prime example is brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. He talks about in cold countries, especially in Europe where they were found, the Baal Tosfos and others in the Rishonim. So a goy may turn on the heat for the purpose of katanim when it was very cold, because it's very dangerous when it's cold. The Gemara tells us that hakol cholim etzal kor. Everyone's considered sick with respect to cold weather. So if a katanim are present in the house and they need heat, you could have them fire up the furnace. And even for gedolim, even if there are no kids in the house, and forget people who are really old, but let's say adults, so adults like everybody here. So even though we're not katanim, so if it's very, very cold for us, then we're even allowed to year bar mitzvah, so you're considered a gadol now. So even if for a gadol, if we get really, really cold, extreme cold, you could also ask a goy to turn the heat on to fire up the furnace, that would be permitted in Melacha Deraisa, because we're all considered a choleb with respect to the cold weather. Now, how do we define what's considered a kor gadol? What's considered very cold? Aruch HaShulchan says it's very difficult to tell. Now, people from Los Angeles who come to New York think 50 degrees is very, very cold.
In my house, we have that much
winter. Right, okay, so it's very hard to define what's considered cold. Now, Ramosha has a heter, which I think people misuse and misunderstand. Ramosha talks about a situation where the air conditioning was left on Shabbos, so it gets very cold. So if it gets too cold, you're allowed to have the goy turn off the air conditioning.
You mean that what? In the morning.
Right, and that is true. So he says that's... I don't know what was going on last week, but you said it happens every week. But last week I was shivering. So,
it feels like it's
once a year. So the lach is, or Moshe says there's a heter to ask the guy to turn off the AC, because the AC is cold, but it's only a situation where there's a concern people might get sick. Now, the doctor's going to tell us you don't get sick from cold weather. You get sick because your body gets colder, and then you get, no?
There's a combination, I think.
Okay, combination. So, I thought you had to catch a virus of some sort, not the cold weather itself.
If you're cold, you catch it more easily.
Right, exactly. You're more vulnerable.
Exactly.
Right. So the immune system's working slower.
Exactly.
So the cold weather, if a person, is it really a concern of someone getting sick? So then you could tell the guy to turn it off. But if it's just stam chilly, it's a few degrees colder than you really prefer, there's no heter for that.
Yeah, the AC being on inappropriate at the wrong time is not going to bring it down to 40 degrees. It'll bring it down to like 62 maybe.
Right.
But you have then you also have the hefset that the AC running like that is
yeah, I doubt.
You
don't
have the covered habrias.
Right. So that when it comes to Tzarech Tzibur, it's a very different story.
But
so it might be a certain term.
They dim the lights for Shalosh Shulim.
Right.
In certain shuls.
Right.
It's a Tzarech Mitzvah.
Can you tell the goy? Can you tell them, oh, easy, we're having Shalosh Shulim?
Well, that he already knows that's part of it. There's no Amir anymore. That's okay. And turning off the lights, we discussed in the past, that's not about Hanah. There's no Hanah in turning off lights. There are two factors we discussed in the beginning of the series.
Can you tell him without a remez?
Without a remez, no. I don't think that's considered tzarech. I don't think so.
But with a remez, it's okay.
With a remez, shalom b'der, you could do a shalom b'derech remiza. I mean, you could say a situation of, it's very light in here. But you can't tell them to do something.
How about we're eating Shalosh Shulim?
That too would work. As long as you don't mention the malach of turning off the lights, and you also don't mention, I need your help, you have to ignore both of those. You can't direct to him, and you can't also mention the malach. Then that's considered permitted in every situation.
You should make him sit through the shir.
But let's say the guy...
He said, last week, he said to me, Rabbi, these guys are telling me what to do. They're not even telling me b'remiza.
No way.
I'm telling, that's what he said to me, yeah. He said to me, I think you should give a shir to these guys about what to do. So I'm trying to.
But sometimes, to go back to him, for example, he could say, what time is Shalosh Shulim?
He could, yeah.
Now, if you answer him, let's say 6 o'clock, you're basically saying to him, turn off the light at 6 o'clock.
No, that, you're just saying, no, you're answering time. That's not. If he asks you, should I turn the light off at 6 o'clock, and you said yes, so that's considered a response. That would be considered a tzivoy of some sort. We discussed that, last time.
Right.
Yeah.
But here, Shalosh Shulis is at 6 o'clock.
You could say Shalosh Shulis at 6 o'clock.
Turn the lights off at 6. You can say Shalosh Shulis at 6.
Do whatever you want. Up to you. Find yourself a job. Okay. Now, when it comes to, there's another category of chola. We discussed just before about cold situations. What about children? So we have no children in the room right now, but the Ramah says when it comes to a goy could cook for a katan if a katan needs food, because katanim have the din of a chol l'shem bo sakana. As a rule, a katan has a din of a chol l'shem bo sakana. Now the big question is, what exactly is the age of a katan that is considered a chol l'shem bo sakana? Now this is also permitted, not just only if there's a need. You can't just have a goy start cooking for a katan, but it has to be a certain tzarech, of course. So the Minchas Yitzchak thinks that the over the age of 9, up until the age of 9, it's considered a chola shein bo sakana. Above 9, you're already considered a non-chola. And the basis is in the Mishan Yuma, talks about when you start training a child to fast the Yom Kippur, based on those sugyas there, discusses the age of 10, 11, 12. So based on those sugyas, he thinks would be a good model for what's considered a chola shein bo sakana. But many argue on this, and they don't think you could be so makel to wait till the age of 9. So this is a big machlokas. What comes out is as follows. Up until the age of 3, everybody agrees that's considered chol l'shem bo sakana. Above the age of 9, everybody agrees he's not considered, or she's not considered a chol l'shem bo sakana. It's the middle range of 3 to 9. It really depends on the child, the strength of the child, the health of the child, the situation. And it really depends on, you know, ask a posek. But that 3 to 9 age is the unclear stage of whether they're considered a chol l'shem bo sakana. Use your judgment, ask a shayla if those situations come up.
Does that have to do with the child's ability to communicate? Like,
what
his or her own issues are?
No, I don't think so. I think it has to do with the strength of the child, whether he's really, you know, a weaker child or not, healthy child. I don't think it has ability, a cognizant ability or not. I don't think that's a relevant factor. I don't think, but it's a good point, because usually we define katanim as das, how much das they have, which would be interesting, but here it's really about strength. Okay, we'll do one more heter now. One, I think, is the last one we're going to discuss in this series of leniencies of Amir Lakum, and that's the Hatter of Amira L'Amira. Now, Amira L'Amira is a very tricky one. Basically, what it means is, Vai tell a goy to tell the other goy to do a Melacha D'Raisa. That's what the Hatter is. And this, I've heard this Amir L'Amira misused. People think this is like the Hatter, tell the goy to tell the other goy to do it. It's not really true. You can't just use it for anything you want. It has to be used in certain situations. So let's go through a situation one might be able to use this heter of Amir L'Amira. So let's say, if it's any of the situations, the more serious situations, so then, like we discussed, of a chol l'shem bo sakana, then you could directly tell the goy to do the deraisa. So there's no need to do an Amir L'Amira. So anything that's really serious, a chol l'shem bo sakana, what else did we discuss here? What are the other heterim of deraisa? Ben Hashmashos and Psik Reisha. Those things you could directly tell the goy to do Melacha deraisa. There's no need to utilize Amir L'Amira. So the only other area you might need to is if it's those areas where Melacha Derbanan is only permitted. So when it came to Hefsid Mamun, so you could have a Melacha Derbanan. If it came to Tzar Gadol, if it came to Kavda Brios, Tzarech Mitzvah, those four categories we permitted one to only do Melacha Derbanan. So in those categories, if you want to get a Deraisa done, in those four situations, you could then utilize a Amira La'Amira in order to get the Deraisa done. So let's say I have a Hefsid Mamun, and My car is on the street and I want it parked in the garage. If you're parked in Lawrence and they're going to give you a ticket because you park in the street at nights, it's a hefty ticket. You want to avoid that. So we said, if it's Ben Hashmashos, then you could tell the goy directly to drive it in the garage or pull into the parking lot, into the driveway. Let's say it's ready after Tetzal Kochavim. So you can't use the heter Ben Hashmashos now. So you could have a goy tell another goy to drive it in to avoid the hefsid mamon. But I can't tell my one goy to do the mlacha because that's a mlacha deraisa. Comes to Hefsid Mamon, you have to, if you want need a deraisa done, you could do an Amira to an Amira. That's an example. Or let's say there's a Tzar Gadol, or covered a Brios. So let's say I need drinks. I live, I'm somewhere up in the country. I'm making a Shem Brachos up in the country, somewhere in my house up in the mountains, and I forgot to get drinks. And there's no way, no area in walking distance to buy drinks for the Shem Brachos. So what am I going to do? I need to have someone drive there. So I can't tell the waiter who's working in the house for Shabbos to go get my to go drive there because that's a deraisa. I can't do a deraisa just for my own covered brios. What I can do is I can tell the waiter to tell the other waiter to go drive to the store, and that would be permitted to get the to avoid the covered brios. So that's the situations where you could utilize this Amir L'Amira.
And when the guy turns back and says, "Why can't I just do it myself? You just play dumb." Would you anticipate that be the first response, Molly?
Right. I'll do it.
Right. So you, I guess you should probably say, I'd rather you tell him or her to do that.
Right. Because they press you.
Yeah, it can. Yeah, I think you should probably, in that situation, since it's dealing with the deraisa, you probably should keep pressing them back to do it. And the idea is that the amir l'amir is that second goy is really working for the first goy, not for you. He's not your shliach anymore. And that's the basis for the heter. Okay. One last example, then we'll stop here, is let's say a person needs to overnight a letter to prevent hefsed mamon. He has a bill. If he doesn't pay the bill by Saturday, by Shabbos, that's going to be a big penalty for him, let's say. So that situation, so that's a big hefsed mamon, but all you're allowed to do is a dirabanon. So I can't have the postal service, UPS, or whoever's doing the overnight to drive on my behalf. That's a deraisa to prevent my hefsed mamon. So I could go to the post office, though. This is probably strange to do this on Shabbos, but I could probably tell the guy to go to the post office if it were to open on Saturday, to go to the post office and have them overnight it for me. Amila Mira to do a deraisa to prevent my hefsed mamon, that would be permitted. Those are situations. Now, what comes up often is, and I'm going to leave this as a tarachin just for food for thought here, when it comes to people staying in hotels over Shabbos. So the best thing to do is, of course, have it taped and use the regular, you know, keys, the mechanical keys, not the, you can't use electric cars. But I've been to certain places where they would have set up in the hallways the one of the workers to have the cards and open up whenever you need. So is that permitted? So when I go to my room, they're basically, I'm directing them which room I'm going to. That's a direct amira. But let's say I go down to the front desk and say, I need my room 314 opened up. Can you open up? Can you send somebody up? So the chora, that's an amira to prevent to allow for the deraisa to let me into my room, because that's covered brios. It's, you know, tsar gadol for me not to go into my room. The question becomes, though, is should a person put themselves in a situation, lechachila, to rely on the amira l'amira? I don't know. I'm just raising that point. I'm not posculating. I'm just food for thought. Okay, so we'll stop here. And next week I'm giving a special shiur on the topic of Hanukkah.